Father, we ascend your mountain, your holy hill, and we come to worship you and worship you alone. You are the Holy One, the Mighty and Exalted One. Purify us with your holy fire. We offer you our lives as a living sacrifice. We've come to worship you, Father, in spirit and in truth. In spirit and in truth. May you be praised, Father, honored, glorified during this time of worship, for we surrender to your sovereign will. O Yahweh, you are Elohim, you are the Mighty One, the El of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. We thank you, Father, that you are forever faithful. You do exceedingly, abundantly over anything that we could think, ask, or even imagine. Let it be known today that you are Yahweh. Hallelujah.
Beautiful female, so astonished was I, for I had given strict orders not to be disturbed, that it was some moments before I found language to inquire the case of her presence. A second and a third and even a fourth time did I repeat my question, but received no answer from my mysterious visitor except a slight raising of her eyes. By this time I felt strange sensations spreading through me, and I would have risen, but the riveted gaze of the being before me rendered volition impossible. I staged once more to address her, but my tongue had become useless as though it had become paralyzed. A new influence, mysterious, potent, irresistible, took a possession of me. All I could do was gaze steadily and vacantly at my unknown visitor, and gradually the surrounding atmosphere seemed as if it had become filled with sensations and luminous. Everything about me seemed to rarefy, the mysterious visitor herself becoming more airy and more distant to my sight than before. I now began to feel as one who is dying, or rather to experience the sensations which I have sometimes imagined accompany this dissolution. I did not think, and I did not reason. I did not move. All were alike impossible. I was only conscious of gazing fixed vacantly at my companion. Presently, I heard a voice saying, "Son of the Republic, look and learn." And while at the same time my visitor extended her arm eastwardly, and I now beheld a heavy white vapor at some distance rising fold upon fold. This gradually dissipated, and I soon looked upon a stranger scene. Before me lay spread out in one vast plain all the countries of the world, Europe, Asia, Africa, and America. I saw rolling and tossing between Europe and America, and the billows of the Atlantic, and between Asia and America lay the Pacific. Son of the Republic, say, said the mysterious voice as before, look and learn. And at that moment I beheld a dark shadow, being like an angel, standing, or rather floating in midair between Europe and America. And he began to dip water out of the ocean in the hollow of each hand. He sprinkled some upon America with his right hand, while with his left hand he cast some on Europe. Immediately a cloud raised from these countries and joined in mid-ocean. For a while it remained stationary and then moved slowly westward until it enveloped America in its murky folds. Sharp flashes of lightning gleamed through the intervals, and I heard the smothered groans and cries of the American people. A second time the angel dipped the water from the ocean and sprinkled it as before, and the dark cloud was drawn back from the ocean, in whose heaving billows it sank from view. A third time I heard the mysterious voice saying, Son of the Republic, look and learn. And I cast my eyes upon America, and behold villages and towns and cities begin to spring up one after another, until the whole land from the Atlantic to the Pacific was dotted with these villages and towns. And again, I heard the mysterious voice say, Son of the Republic, the end of the century cometh. Look and learn. At this, the dark shadowy angel turned his face southward, and from Africa I saw ill omen specter approach our land. It flitted slowly over every town and city of the latter. The inhabitants presently set themselves in battle array against each other. And as I continued looking, I saw a bright angel on whose brow rested a crown of light, on which was traced the word Union, bearing the American flag, which he placed between the divided nation, and said, Remember, you are brethren. And instantly the inhabitants, casting from them their weapons, became friends once again and united around the national standard. Again I hear the mysterious voice saying, the son of the republic, look and learn. At this, the dark, shadowy angel placed a trumpet to his mouth and blew three distinct blasts. And taking water from the ocean, he sprinkled it up on Europe, Asia, and Africa. And then my eyes beheld a fearful scene. From each of these countries arose thick, black clouds that were soon joined into one. Throughout this mass, there were gleamed a dark red light by which I saw hordes of armed men who, moving with the cloud, marched by land and sailed by sea to America. Our country was enveloped in this volume of cloud, and I saw these vast armies devastate the whole country, burn the villages, and loot the towns and the cities. And I beheld springing up, as my ears listened to the thundering of the cannon, the clashing of the sword, and the shouts and cries of millions in mortal combat. I heard again the mysterious voice saying, Son of the Republic, look and learn. When the voice had ceased, the dark, shadowy angel placed his trumpet once more to his mouth. He blew a long and a fearful blast. Instantly, a light as of a thousand suns shone down from above me and pierced and broke into fragments the dark cloud which had enveloped America. And at the same moment, the angel whose head still shone the word Union and who bore our national flag in one hand and a sword in the other descended from the heavens. And this angel was attended by legions of white spirits. These immediately joined the inhabitants of America, whom I perceived were nigh overcome, but who immediately, taking courage again, closed up their broken ranks and renewed the battle. Again, amid the fearful noise of the conflict, I heard the mysterious voice saying, The Son of the Republic, look and learn. And as the voice ceased, the shadowy angel, for the last time, dipped water from the ocean and sprinkled it upon America. Instantly, the dark cloud rolled back, together with the armies that it had brought, leaving the inhabitants of the land victorious. Then, once more, I beheld the villages and towns and cities springing up where I had seen them before, while the bright angel planting the Azure standard he had brought in the midst of them cried with a loud voice, While the stars remain and the heavens send down dew upon the earth, so long shall the Union last. And taking from his brow the crown on which was blazoned the word Union, he placed it upon the standard, while the people kneeling down said, Amen. The scene instantly began to fade, Mr. Washington said, and dissolve. And at last I saw nothing but the rising, curling vapor that I first beheld. This also began disappearing, and I found myself once more gazing upon the mysterious visitor, who in the same voice I had heard before say, Son of the Republic, what you have seen is thus interpreted. Three great perils will come upon the Republic. The most fearful one is the third and the last. But in this greatest conflict, the whole world would unite, but shall not prevail against her. That every child of the Republic learn to live for his God, his land, and the Union. And with these words, the vision vanished, and I started from my seat and felt that I had seen a vision wherein had been shown to me the birth and the progress and the destiny of the United States of America. Well, that's Mr. Washington's reported vision that he had, and it was shared by Anthony Sherman. and written in 77 or 78, thereabout. But he swore it was an account that was recounted by Mr. Washington about the future of America. Now, what about America, Pastor Buddy? Who is America? Are we in prophecy? Are we a covenant nation with our Father? Have we been used by the enemy? And has the enemy come over and, in a sense, taken over? Well, we're going to cover some of those things in the modern identity of America, the United States of America. And it's real wonderful when you look at the connection between a people that was scattered in 721 B.C., that is the house of Israel. And in 721 B.C., when they were scattered, it was the 10 northern tribes. And then in 587 B.C., we have Judah, the last disobedient part of the house of Israel. They were taken to Babylon. And in the 23rd chapter of the book of Jeremiah, if you follow the history of the Exodus, both Israel and Judah, both of these houses were removed, and according to 2 Samuel 7 and 10, they were to never return. Now, we've got the Judeo-Christian preachers saying, and they say this quite often, that the Jews, they don't know who Israel is, that the Jews are going to be going back to their homeland. But is this true? Have the scholars, have they been unaware of the identity of the lost 10 tribes of Israel in general? Now, those in British Israel, now this is the doctrine that they have, they say that Britain, Canada, Australia, and New Zealand are the Anglo-Saxon nation of the British Commonwealth, that it comprises the tribe of Ephraim, and claim that the United States is Manasseh. But is that true? We're going to give you some biblical evidence which proves beyond a doubt that the majority has it all backwards. Modern Ephraim is truly the United States of America. Now, I want to emphasize that and show you that we are a covenanted and a warranted people, that we must, by all means, retain our vision of a country that has the marks and identity of a blessed nation. Now, we didn't have any doubt in World War II that we was a blessed nation. We were called on to perform in World War II, and we performed admirably. We went and we rescued the foreign nations of Europe, mostly the British Commonwealth. We saved them. We saved Germany. We saved France. We saved Russia. We went in and fought, and we preserved the peace on earth until Korea. Now we switch to the Asiatic wars, and we commenced there, and we've been in wars and rumors of wars ever since the end of World War II, where we thought that modern Ephraim is Great Britain and the British Commonwealth of Canada, Australia, and New Zealand, and that America is not Ephraim, but it's Manasseh. Well, is that true? Well, let's look at some of the evidence that points. In fact, England and Canada and Australia and New Zealand essentially comprise the modern descendants of the tribe of Ephraim, a leading tribe of ancient Israel. The proponents of this cherished theory of the so-called British Israel identity groups seems to claim with an imperfluous finality and have it firmly settled in their minds that such is the case. But does it add up? You've got to be open-minded on this issue. And how important is it? Well, and we're going to discuss the vital keys that will unlock the mystery and put to rest the erroneous and proud theories of British Israelism when it comes to the modern identity of the important biblical tribe of Ephraim. Now, why would they want us to believe in the mix-up of the two mightiest nations on the earth in the modern era? That would be Great Britain. And out of her would come the legal exodus of the immigrants from England and the British Isles over to America. When we got out of England and the British Isles and points in Europe, we came as immigrants. But did you know that it was mostly the house of Ephraim and the scattered 13 tribes that began to be a collective people to come to a nation that would be blessed and coveted? And as Mr. Washington's vision has proclaimed to us, would become a proud nation, and that its people would be proud, but in the end, that America would be defamed, and that the people of the earth would hate her, and that they would burn her with fire. Now, why have we metamorphically changed from a lamb of Revelation 13 to a beast power, speaking great swelling words, even denying our government is Antichrist? Now, you say, well, why would it be? Because our president goes to the church and on Sunday, and you'll see him carrying his Bible, and, you know, that's an old tradition to show you that we have a God-fearing man in the White House. Oh, really? Now, how God-fearing are they when they stand idly by and permit government to actually push out of our system men that value God's word, to hold it above the nation and to let its laws and commandments lead and guide us in prayer and in fellowship and in reading of the Bible, both in and out of our schools and in our government institutions? You can't even have the posting of the Ten Commandments in the halls of justice throughout America. Ladies and gentlemen, we have turned from a lamb nation that everybody loved and everybody wanted to come to it into a nation that is now becoming feared because of its dealings with the peoples of the earth. I mean, we will bring in the F-16 fighters and we'll drop napalm on little children, on houses of innocent people. We'll go to nations that are blessed with natural resources, for instance, like oil, and we'll go in and we will steal the oil under the threat of invasion. And we become speaking like a beast power, just like Revelation 13 said we would. Now, is this in the promise of Manasseh? Or is it in the promise of Ephraim? Which nation would be the greatest? Well, let's go on here a little bit. Now, the patriarch Joseph, while he was in Egypt, he had two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. And shortly before his own death, Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel, blessed the two boys and placed his own name upon them. And so they became two of the tribes of Israel. In effect, the children of Joseph became the two tribes of Ephraim and Manasseh, mentioned in the Bible. And so the 12 tribes of Israel actually became 13 tribes of Israel. But since the tribe of Levi had no physical inheritance, Their inheritance was the priesthood in service of God, and there were still 12 tribes which were given physical inheritances in the earth, and we're going to examine and visit some of those inheritance promises. Jacob blessed the two boys, placing his right hand on Ephraim, the younger, and his left hand upon Manasseh, the older. And if you go to Genesis 48:12, where I'm reading from, then he blessed them, and he said his name would be called upon them. They would be like his own sons. In other words, he adopted them. The two tribes of Israel, verse 16, and said that they would become a multitude in the midst of the earth, verse 16. And they would also bear the name of his father Isaac. This prophecy was fulfilled in the Anglo-Saxons, a major branch of the Celtic tribes, which migrated to Western Europe from the region of the Caucasus, where the northern kingdom of Israel had been taken captive by the Assyrian Empire in 721 through 718 B.C. The Saxons bear the name of Isaac, Jacob's father. Isaac, in Hebrew, became Tasak, or the Saxons, sons of Tasak, or Tasak's sons, as it were. And so then, we have a rich history of being the people. Notice, the prophecy goes on pronouncing the attributes and the destinies of these two children. Jacob declared of Manasseh, he shall also become a people, and he also shall be great. Great Britain. Great sons of Saxon. But truly his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his descendants shall become a multitude of nations. That's in verse 19 of Genesis 48. The Hebrew word for multitude is milo, and means fullness. The word for nations is goyim, and simply means a massing of people or a troop. Hence, it can be translated various ways, including Gentile, heathen, nation, or people. And the British Commonwealth was never a multitude of nations, ladies and gentlemen. And so, Ephraim could not be Great Britain. Ephraim has to be in the great nation of the United States, its people. This is where Yahweh intended for the majority of his children. When he scattered them abroad, he knew exactly where he was going to bring them in the western swing through to the west, and then all the way to America, where this great land lay vast, waiting on the inhabitants of Israel, who came in with their axes and their bows and their arrows and their guns, and they literally turned this into a mega paradise as the greatest nation or multitude of states. Now, right now, we have 50 individual states. At the time that it was incorporated, we had 13 colonies, which were exactly one colony for each of the 13 tribes that was intended for this to be the 13 divided nations for the house of Ephraim, the greater. America is a multitude of states or peoples, and it consists of 50 individual states and contains a multitude of peoples and many nationalities living within its borders. The point is, in the prophecy, Jacob said the descendants of both brothers would become great, but that Ephraim would excel and eventually surpass his older brother, and this was a divine decision from the very beginning when he laid his right hand upon Ephraim and his left hand upon Manasseh. Now, if you will, come back to the vision of Washington. The angel stood with his left hand on Europe, or Great Britain. And his right hand was on the United States of America, Ephraim. With these two blessings, it was actually a double portion blessing to be given to Ephraim above all of the other nations, mainly Europe, the British Isles, Great Britain, as they controlled that in the 18th century, the British naval power was known and far advanced. But then came America in the 1900s and the 1920s and during World War One and World War Two and then all of the other wars. We are the only great superpower in the world. And we are now speaking, just like the angel said, there is a reason that all this wrath is being stirred up against the people of Ephraim. Why would we be attacked by a foreign power? Now, Mr. Washington saw that troops from Asia, does that surprise you? And troops from Europe, does that surprise you? It certainly don't surprise me. And they formed a great, and troops from Africa, does that surprise you? It shouldn't. And there was a convergence of a great army that is mentioned in Ezekiel chapter 36. And most people that read Ezekiel 36 and 37, they think when it says that Yahweh will put hooks in these jaws of these armies and bring them over to Israel, they think that that is where they used to be, as opposed to where they are now. See, in modern prophecy, ladies and gentlemen, we are now scattered abroad. We are the mightiest people in the earth. Yahweh said we would be. And going back to what we call Palestine, where we now have those who claim to be Jews gathered back there, with the support of the United States of America guaranteeing their existence, and have for the last 60 years, or since 48, we've guaranteed their existence, and if had it not been for the superpower of America, that little nation over there that we know in the sandbox that we call Israel, and that's false. The new Jerusalem is the one we want to be concerned about. The new Israel, the Israel abroad, the Israel scattered abroad. I want you to keep your mind on that. And so then, the right hand was placed on the head of a younger boy that would be Ephraim. And he would receive the double portion. In fact, the name Ephraim itself means double fruit. Now, in Genesis 49, you can specifically hear what was said of Joseph, whose inheritance passed on through Ephraim and Manasseh, declared Jacob in Genesis 49, verse 22. He says, Joseph is a fruitful bough. A fruitful bough by a well. Now, show me the most productive nation on the earth. Points where? It points to Ephraim, America. Joseph is a fruitful bough. Joseph picked the son, or Jacob did, not Joseph. Joseph actually wanted to be the other way around. He knew the protocol. He knew that Jacob should have blessed Manasseh as the elder and laid his right hand upon him. He didn't do that. And he didn't make no mistake, as a lot of people try to say. The Holy Ghost makes no mistake. He picked Ephraim to be the branches that run over the wall. Ladies and gentlemen, America has produced the greatest nation and the greatest ideals for living on earth as a people productively, avoiding war and things of this nature, until it began to speak like a beast, and now we are being enticed by an enemy within. And we have talked about that enemy being right in our shores, on our shores, and in our halls of justices, they have black robes on, and they meet clandestinely behind closed doors, and they make plans for the destruction of America. Their purpose, sole purpose is to rape and loot and ravage the nation of Ephraim, America, the New Jerusalem. They have been chosen specifically to hate her and burn her flesh with fire. And that's exactly what they did. They act like that they love this nation. Let me read on some of the prophecy of Jacob as he prophesied about Ephraim, Joseph Ephraim. Fruitful means plenteous in numbers, bearing much fruit, dwelling by a well, means his land would have plenty of water. And America is the only nation in the world that has the characteristics of a New Jerusalem. But the archers have bitterly grieved him. And these other nations attacked him. Look at the plight of Joseph. Look how he was hated, even by his own brothers. Jacob knew that the archers would bitterly grieve him and hate him. But who is the greatest and most hated nation on earth today? Can you tell me? But it says his bow remained in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob, from whence there is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. By the God of your father, who will help you. Genesis 49, verses 22 through 26. By the strong hands of the mighty God of Jacob. That's the vision that George Washington had, ladies and gentlemen. And these strong hands will wax weak through wicked living and the falling away. Now, the Bible says, unless there's a falling away, the end won't come. These characteristics mentioned by Jacob should be the identifying attributes of Joseph. And since Ephraim is the leading tribe of Joseph, these signs or attributes should be identified with him more than with his brother Manasseh, which would be Great Britain. Now look at the evidence. What great nation today between the United States and Great Britain and Canada has the sign of the fruitful vine or tree with many branches running over the wall? Which has the sign of the bow and arrows of the powerful archer? Remember, these are the first two signs that Jacob said would identify Joseph in the last days. Our day, today, ladies and gentlemen, we live in a coveted, promised land that Satan hates, and the bitter archers will grievously shoot their arrows into this nation. We shall be wounded. We shall be weakened. And that's going on right now as I speak. And the purpose is being worked from the halls of our Congress and in the office of our president, run by a group of Illuminati predestined for this job to come in secretly and spy out our liberties and actually take control of our government to have us to do things in the name of America that its people have never agreed to do, would have never agreed to do, had they had the cause and just purpose to vote, and that their votes would count in and to direct our nation. Now, it doesn't matter what we want. We get exactly what is programmed by these Illuminati. This is the elite. These are the ones that actually, they hate and despise this country. Not only because of its beauty and its wealth, but because of the covenant it has. That's the reason that the devil moved in to destroy America from within. The communist revolution is now alive and well on the continent of North America. It is doing its job just exactly as the Bible has indicated, that Joseph would become a victim of powerful archers and that they would shoot at him and grievously afflict him and that he would suffer for his goodness. Ladies and gentlemen, somebody has taken the controls of goodness and turned it into the controls of bad. We're now using the power and the might of the United States to take it to where it didn't want to go, to do things it didn't want to do. Our heart is not in this war. We know that Afghanistan and Iraq, and coming soon, Iran. We're just interested to get the riches and the valuable resources that these nations possess. That's all we're there for, ladies and gentlemen. Just simply because these envious men that run this country, and they're devious, they're figureheads. The person that you voted for is not the person that makes the calls, ladies and gentlemen. We are run by an internal shadow government that has waxed wicked through its power of money. And it rules the world, and it's in here to destroy the very thing that our Father Yahweh intended and created for the purpose of having a nation of one people under one Yahweh. And yet we have been grievously wounded. Our thoughts have been wounded. Every time that we want to be racial covenant people, there's a voice that cries out from some other source on a great powerful media that tells us it's wrong, we shouldn't do that. And like blind sheep, we go along with those who paved the way for our destruction. Will we wake up? Well, according to Mr. Washington's vision, the angel that is sprinkled with his left hand, that brought the wrath of those nations from the left. And it mentioned Africa. It mentioned Asia. And it mentioned Europe. And all these nations would send large armies. If you read Ezekiel chapter 37 and 38 and 39, that's the three chapters that are now coming into play here as the nations abroad, particularly China. China is now arguing with the world monetary system. It has now ran up, it's acquired a huge debt from America. America has given it trillions of dollars of derivative investments, worthless paper. But now, China is demanding a gold standard return, that they want the IMF to pay them in gold instead of dollars. And that's troubling the nations of the world. And that's going to bring about a problem for the borrowing power of America. You see, we have long since been ceased from being an exporting power to actually an importing of goods and services abroad, mainly China and India, which has one-third of the people on the planet. Over one-third, over one-third of the people on the planet are these two nations. And they are cheap labor. They're making products and putting it on the shelves of Walmart and every other outlet in America. These products are not made by Americans in America for Americans. They're made by foreigners because it's cheaper and available. And the international cartel of money changers are operating this system to purposely bring America to its knees. And ladies and gentlemen, I was so sad when I read about this vision, you say, oh, Pastor Betty, that probably didn't even happen. You're just sensationalizing this fact, and you're trying to turn it into something it actually is not. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you look at our time. We're in a time of trouble such as the world never was, and the nations of the world literally hate America. We are being attacked from within. We're too powerful to be attacked by a standing army. Mr. Saddam was tricked into that, and they destroyed his army almost in a week. And everybody thought it was going to be a terrible and a bloody battle. It was. It was terrible for the Iraqis. They suffered humongous losses of men. And now we're still over there directing the oil flow from the rich oil fields and the slopes right below Russia, which is itself a superpower, which is getting very, very perturbed about the actions of America. And it's causing, even warning us not to go in the way that it went over 60 years ago in a communist socialist movement. But America is not listening because we have Soviet-style trained communists that came down our streets in Washington, D.C., as Mr. Khrushchev said, and they didn't have to fire one shot to get into the halls of our Congress and Senate and into our executive offices, and now have turned our government into a liberal bunch of socialist communists. That's all we've got here, ladies and gentlemen. We've got nothing left. And Mr. Washington saw, actually, the time of trouble for America. The personal characteristics mentioned in Genesis 49 and Deuteronomy 33 did become the emblems of Israel people, as had been recognized by all biblical authorities, both Christians and Jewish. Now, that means that some of the things that they connected the ancient symbols of the tribes of Israel with their counterparts in the modern world, notably in Western Europe, Scandinavia, British Isles, Ireland, America, and Canada. Now, the two kingdoms, Israel and Judah, they were to be separated. The northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah are depicted in the map that in your Bible, showing you the southern region of being Judah and the northern being of the northern house of Israel. But it talks about in the last days of these two sticks being reunited, and that they would become the battle axe of Yahweh. Is America and Manasseh, Great Britain, are we ever going to join hands and fight the final war in prophecy? Three world wars are planned according to the Illuminati. Mr. Albert Pike wrote that in Morals and Dogmas. I have a copy of it here at the office. And you'd be surprised that the Illuminati knew that it would take three world wars to conquer the power of America and destroy it. And they knew that they would have to destroy it from within, that it would have to change its government to do so. And it's been done, ladies and gentlemen. Just this year, we have become the eagle. As a predominant symbol, the eagle is connected with the tribe of Dan. Dan's ancient flag or symbol was that of an eagle. Many Danites descended from Dan came to the shores of America, as I have done in my series, showing you that they came from Denmark and the Scandinavian countries. Descendants of Dan are mainly found in Ireland, Denmark, Dan's mark, as denoted by the appearance of Dan, or Don, or Den. In many of the place names, you will see the tribe of Dan in biblical prophecy, and Dan was the one that brought all the immigrants to the shores of America long before Columbus discovered America, as we have been told in our class books. Concerning the national emblems of Joseph, we expect to see an olive branch and a bundle of owls mentioned in Genesis 49. These should be primarily found in the emblems of the tribe of Ephraim, the birthright tribe. So then, where do we find in the emblem of the United States? We see the eagle, and we see her clutching, you got it, we see her clutching what? She's clutching the olive branches in her talons here with the arrows and the shield of the 13 stripes, which was actually the emblem of the United States poplar. Now, the great seal of the United States, it shows the United States has many key elements showing its connection with the tribe of Ephraim. The olive branch with 13 leaves, 13 arrows, 13 stripes on the flag or the shield, 13 letters, and 13 stars above the eagle. Ephraim was the youngest son of Jacob, and therefore the 13th and final tribe. The number 13 is a good number according to the most authorities. It denotes superabundance, just as Ephraim means doubly fruitful. So we have the two major emblems of Joseph Ephraim. That is the olive branch and the fruitful branch. And we have the 13 arrows, which represents each of the 13 colonies binded together to become a multitude of nations. The identifying attributes of the birthright tribe of Joseph, which should be especially visible in identification of Ephraim, the son given to the greater blessing. On the left of this in the insignia is the olive plant with its abundance of olives. The olive plant is a symbol of richness of oil and is an emblem of peace, and it depicts the house of Israel according to Romans in chapter 11. On the right is a bundle of arrows, symbolically a war-waging prowess and military might. The arrows depict arrow power. Today they would represent the power of guided missiles, smart bombs, cruise missiles, tomahawks, so effectively used in the Gulf War in 91 and the Afghan conflict in which American air power soon devastated the Taliban and Al-Qaeda terrorist bases and drove the terrorists to hiding in undercover in the mountains and in the interior of the mountain caves of those far countries. These are the two major symbols of Joseph, according to Jacob's blessing, of the tribes of Genesis 49. Now, what nation on earth today is more famous for its air power than the United States of America? What nation has used its air power more successfully than the United States? What nation has taken the lead to bring peace to the Middle East? What nation has been the peacemaker in the earth and now has changed to the beast power, speaking great things? The 13th tribe, ladies and gentlemen, and you got my message tonight, and you know I love you, and I know I want you to know that America is in trouble. Just like the vision that George Washington seen, I foresee a day when we're going to get so weak that our enemies abroad will think to take a prey. They will advance their cause in a war, and this is going to be the war called Armageddon. It's going to be a war that is going to be more wicked and evil than any war that's ever been fought. Actually, the forces of the spiritual forces, both good and evil, are going to clash. As you saw in the vision of George Washington, as the angel directed the other nations to come against America, this is so that America can right its course and let its people once again raise up from its bootstraps with the help of the mighty God, the everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace, who loves this nation, who says that Israel will remain before him as long as there's a sun and a moon. But the devil is intent to destroy the very utterance of the word Israel. And of course, America is the land of New Jerusalem. for you to look at, and the seal, which means many in one, and you will count 13 letters in the shield before the eagle. You will also count 13 stripes, red and white. And, of course, this originally represents the 13 colonies, which became the United States. It's important to recognize this, and that there were originally 13 tribes of ancient Israel. And when we count Ephraim and Manasseh as separate tribes, and indeed they both had separate inheritance in the Holy Land, Manasseh lay to the due north and east of the inheritance of Ephraim. Just like today, modern Manasseh, which is largely Canada and England, lie north and east of modern Ephraim, the United States of America. Well, it's so wonderful to be with you tonight, and I have really enjoyed myself as I have been with you. And I want you to write me tonight, if you've been blessed by the message and you'd like to have a copy of The True House of Ephraim, where it's really located and what the prophetic prophecy is that Yahweh has given me to show you, to let you know that although many people are fleeing from America, trying to go to a safe place, or the people that are going to jump out of the frying pan and just go to the fire, stay with America. Stay in for the final count. Keep your head down and your powder dry. You're going to need it. This nation is going to be invaded with foreign powers, ladies and gentlemen, and it's going to be very soon that this world war will come about, and America will be under a cloud which will be so dark, and it will be reminiscent of the pillar of cloud that stayed over the tabernacle, and there was threatening and lightning and thunder and earthquakes. But ladies and gentlemen, Joseph, America, a covenant land, a land that wants the theocracy to be restored to our nation, to put our Bible back in our school, to have a Christian nation that bows only to Yahweh. Oh, what a happy day when it comes. You can write me tonight, area code 423-626-2172. Now that's area code 423-626-2172. And if you'd like to write me, just write Pastor Buddy. That's Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. The zip is 37824. My sponsor tonight, of course, is Dr. Gary, 1-877-289-7439. I'd like to thank him for the George Washington vision he shared with me. And Brother Paul for STEM Tech, 1-800-253-2748. And I'd like to thank all of my tie payers and those that's held my hands up that I might be able to preach this gospel message to you tonight. And I really love you, and it's in my heart and in my mind to bless you with all of my heart. Let's stay prayerfully faithful to the Creator and our nation. Let's hold on in spite of all of the evil that is permeating from our shores, all of the backbiting and the hisses and the curses toward this wonderful nation has been brought about by Satan as he seeks to destroy us. The one power of hands will hold us. In the end, we shall be victorious. Yahweh bless you is my prayer. I'll see you tomorrow night, live around the world on WWRB 3.185, when I will be in here with the Shepherd's Call at 8 o'clock. That's an early start for you, ladies and gentlemen. I'll be in here at 8 o'clock, and I love you, and I appreciate you. May Yahweh bless you.
One pair of hands, read the dead.